Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. We come before you, Father, with open hearts, yearning to know more of you, Father. We ask, Father, that your will be done in our lives, and that your word would have free course in us, that you would correct us, Father, and cause us to make those changes necessary to be a part of your kingdom. Truly, Father, we put everything behind us from this world and of this world, because we know that the world hates you, and that we ask, Father, that you would truly humble those that are seeking your face, that want to be a part of your kingdom, which is soon to come upon this earth. We love you, Father, and we know that we have but a short time before Yahshua returns, and we ask that you would bless all those that have a petition before you, not only those that are on the prayer list, but, Father, those that are yearning deep within themselves. Each one of us, Father, has a longing and a prayer that we can't utter verbally. But you know what we're seeking, and you know the desires of our hearts. We want to be more like your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, Father. We want to be a perfect people. And we strive, Father, throughout our lives on a daily basis to achieve perfection. But we know that perfection only comes through your Holy Spirit. It only comes through the sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Those who are seeking, Father, to be a part of your kingdom, we ask that you would humble them and that they would yield to you and receive the baptism by fire, the baptism of your Holy Spirit, Father, which enters them into that covenant, into the promise for a life in your kingdom. So we ask, Father, that each one of us would yield to you, give glory to your holy name, and that we would accept the words which are spoken this day as your words, and that they would correct each and every one of us. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. This message is entitled Living a Blessed Life. That's living a blessed life. The majority of the brethren were not able to make it to the funeral. So, and we tried to record it, and for some reason it didn't record. So I'm going to kind of speak what I spoke at the funeral, but I'm going to, you know, this is a full-blown sermon. I only had a few minutes there, so we're going to incorporate a lot of that into what I'm speaking about today. And I'll start with this. Thankfulness is one of the keys to living a blessed life. And we must reflect on all his blessings that he has bestowed upon us. See, again, and I speak this, and I wish most of the people in this country, especially our young people, could spend a short period of time, a month to 6 months in a third world country, and then they would appreciate what they have here. They would understand the blessings that they have by being here in America. But living a blessed life is about being thankful for what you have. And I find that in Africa, the brethren over there are very thankful for the little that they have, you know. And I think that goes a long way for how spiritual they are. And too many of us are not appreciative of what Yahweh has blessed us with. Therefore, we're not as spiritual as some of those that are less blessed, okay? We must trust in his faithfulness and allow him to fight our battles. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 20. We're going to start over there because we truly want to understand that Yahweh is the one that fights our battles. If we are 100% in agreement with his covenant, Second Chronicles chapter 20, and we're going to start in verse 14. Second Chronicles. I said Corinthians?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. See, that's why it's good to have feedback. You know, I'm in Second Chronicles. Okay. Chapter 20, verse 14, it says, then upon Yahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Yael, and the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, and the sons of Asaph, came the spirit of Yahweh in the middle of the assembly. In the middle of the congregation there, the spirit of Yahweh came upon them. And he said, listen, all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, in this manner, says Yahweh to you, fear not, neither be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but Elohim, Yahweh. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the valley, before the wilderness of Yeruel. And you shall not need to fight in this battle. You don't need to fight. You just set yourselves in array, in your column. Okay? Stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh with you. Too often we won't do that, brethren. We go on and try to do these things ourselves. We try to fight these battles ourselves. And we don't need to do that. All we have to do is stand still and see the salvation of Almighty Yahweh, which is the same thing that Moses said to them when they were crossing the Red Sea out of Egypt, when they were going into the Promised Land. He told them, stand still and see the salvation of Almighty Yahweh. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for Yahweh is with you. And if Yahweh is for you, brethren, who can be against you? You understand? He's the only power we need. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before Yahweh, worshiping Yahweh. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Yehuda, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in Yahweh, your Elohim, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed them that they should sing to Yahweh. He didn't tell them take their swords and go after the enemy. He said, sing to Yahweh and give praise in holy array. As they went out before the army and say, give thanks to Yahweh for his loving kindness endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, Yahweh set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir that had come against Judah. And they were defeated. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. Yahweh turned them against themselves. See, he has the victory, brother. Yahweh has the victory all the time. Why would he allow us to be defeated? Why did he allow Israel to be defeated at any time? Because they had gone to worship the Baalim. They had started to idol worship. They did not give Yahweh the glory. They did not give Yahweh the praise. This is why he didn't tell them to pick up the arms, even though this was the army. What did he tell them to do?
sing to Yahweh. This is why it's so important for us to praise Yahweh. We don't understand the blessings. What does it say? The calves of our lips. These are our offerings to Almighty Yahweh. He doesn't want us to offer bulls and goats because Yahshua is our perfect offering. We've accepted Yahshua the Messiah, then all we have to do is sing to Yahweh. Give praise to him, and he will be in your corner every time. See, living a blessed life entails doing the things that Almighty Yahweh would have you do, keeping his covenant law, but singing his praise. We were created for the praises of who? Yahweh. See, too many people want to build themselves up. They want to praise themselves. And what did he say? Those that raise themselves up, he'll bring them down. Those who are humble before him, he'll raise them up. This is a very simple formula, and it's very easy to follow. Verse 24, it says, and when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked upon the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and there were none that escaped. None that escaped Yahweh. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take the plunder of them, they found among them in abundance both riches and dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in taking the plunder. 3 days. That must have been a lot of plunder. It was so much. And on the 4th day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah, for there they bless Yahweh. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Berakah to this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat and the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For Yahweh had made them to rejoice over their enemy. We want to be able to rejoice over our enemies as well. Because our enemies are trying to what? Destroy what we believe. They're trying to destroy our worship. They're trying to destroy our family. And that's all Satan wants to do. He wants to divide and conquer. When you think and you always look at the plot, you always look at who stands to gain from something that's coming against you, you'll always find Satan there. When he came between Eve and Yahweh, Adam and Eve and Yahweh, what did he say? He came between them and said, did Yahweh tell you not to do such and so? Or is there something in the garden that you are not supposed to do? So Yahweh had already given instruction, and if we just keep the instruction that Almighty Yahweh gives us, we have no problems. It's when we entertain that little whispering in the ear of the adversary, see, because he wants to take us away from Almighty Yahweh. But Israel was blessed. Because they did what? They praised Almighty Yahweh. And they returned in verse 27. Every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. But Yahweh made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets to the house of Yahweh. So they were still praising Yahweh. And the fear of Elohim was on all the kingdoms of the countries where they heard that Yahweh fought against the enemies of Israel. It wasn't about Israel fighting. It was about Yahweh fighting the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his Elohim gave him rest all around. So he had peace. And that's what we seek in our lives, brethren. We seek peace. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 1. Remember, this is entitled Living a Blessed Life. And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain. And when he had sat down, this is Yahshua, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying,
blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The term earth is ha'aretz. That's where the kingdom is coming, to this earth. No man has gone into heaven. See, and that's another fallacy that we see in Christian doctrine or even in Muslim doctrine, that people are going to heaven. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you're going to heaven. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Yahweh. And we want to see Yahweh, brethren. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of Elohim. Blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall reproach you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be very glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. And truly they did. They persecuted all of Yahweh's prophets. We show thankfulness by praising Almighty Yahweh. Turn over to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah 2, verse 9. It says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. See, we're talking about being thankful. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of Yahweh. Only of Yahweh. Yahweh is the only one that can give you salvation. His name means I am eternal. The Baalim or the idols of this earth, they cannot give you salvation. They can't do anything for you. See? Psalm 66. Psalm 66. It says, make a joyful noise to Elohim, all the earth. Sing forth the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. How can you do this if you do not know who Yahweh is? If you don't know his name, how can you sing praises to him? That's why it's so important for us to fulfill this great commission. It's so important for us to share this information with those people out there. They don't know that they don't know. They've been raised with the lives of their fathers. They've been raised in the Baalim. All they know is God this or JC that or, you know, all these other pagan names. Okay? They don't know that salvation is of Yehuda, one who praises Yah, Yahshua the Messiah. Salvation comes through Yehuda. See? They don't know. That's why we have to tell them. Say to Elohim, how terrible are your works. Through the greatness of your power shall your enemies submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and shall sing to you. They shall sing to your name, Elah. That's why it's so important for us to get the name out, to let people know who we worship, who our mighty one is. Come, verse 5, and see the works of Elohim. He is terrible in his doings toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we rejoiced in him. He rules by his might forever. His eyes observe the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. O bless our Elohim, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who holds our soul in life and suffers not our feet to be moved. For you, O Elohim, have proved us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a severe burden upon our loins.
He caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out into a wealthy place. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay my vows, which my lips uttered and my mouth spoke when I was in distress. And that's normally when we make these promises. Oh, Yahweh, if you will do thus and so for me, I'll do this for you. But how often do people go back on those vows that they make? You know, they may not know the name of Yahweh at that time. And they may say, if you do this for me, I'll be your servant forever. I'll do this for you. And they break those vows as quickly as they make them, once they've been relieved of that oppression, once they've been saved out of whatever calamity or problem that they found themselves in. I will offer, in verse 15, to you burnt offerings of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all you that fear Elohim, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. He was praised with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, Yahweh will not hear. But truly Elohim has heard. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. He doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. Yahweh hears the prayers of the righteous. He hears the prayers of those who are repentant sinners. That's the difference. All men are sinners, but you have some who've repented. And those are the ones who are considered righteous before him. Okay? You can't continue in sin. If you're out there committing adultery or fornication of some sort, or you're out there robbing and stealing on a regular basis, you know, oh, my employer doesn't see it, I'm just pulling over, I'm just taking extra, he doesn't pay me enough, so I'm gonna pull a few extra bucks, you know, with my weekly pay, so I'll add maybe an extra 100, you know. You don't think Yahweh sees that? Yes, he does. Yahweh knows what's in your heart. He sees it even. Oh, man. Yes, he sees it. If I regard iniquity in my heart, Yahweh will not hear. But truly, Elohim has heard. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be Elohim who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. See, he heard my prayer because he realized that I was a repentant sinner. I was one that was sorry for my sins. And that's the reason that I'm here, before him. I'm coming before him because I'm asking for forgiveness. And see, we've been forgiven through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. That's the reason we get baptized. That's the reason that we get the cleansing. See, the only difference between the sinner walking down the street and the repentant sinner is that that repentant sinner has claimed the blood of Yahshua for cleansing. He's been baptized to receive the remission of sin. Again, we show thankfulness by praising Almighty Yahweh. How many people around us are living tragic lives because they know not Yahweh? They don't know Almighty Yahweh. We cannot compromise our faith by violating the covenant, which guarantees a blessed life if we keep it. That's the reason we can have that blessed life. Living a blessed life affects everyone around us as well. Think about it. And that was something that I brought out about Willie. You know, he affected a lot of people. He affected a lot of people. See? And when they saw his life, they realized that he was living a blessed life. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 26. I'm going to start in verse 1. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. And there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham and Isaac,
went up to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And Yahweh appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you. And that's what we want. We want Yahweh to be with us. And will bless you, for unto you and unto your seed I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore unto Abraham your father. And I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and will give unto your seed all these lands, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say my wife, lest she said the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. In other words, she was a beautiful woman. And it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, surely she is your wife. Why did you say she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die because of her. And Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all the people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. And Isaac sowed in the land and found in the same year a hundredfold, and Yahweh blessed him. So Isaac was blessed in Yahweh and grew more and more until he became very great. And he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great household, and the Philistines envied him. And that's what the people of the land will do when they see your blessing. They will envy you. Now all the wells which his father's servant had dug in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistine, had stopped and filled with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go from us, for you are much mightier than we. And Isaac departed from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called the names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar fought with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Essek, because they contended with him. And they dug another well, and they fought for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah, and he moved from there, and dug another well, for that they fought not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth, for he said, for now Yahweh has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. For now Yahweh had blessed him, and Isaac was able to stop moving. He was able to set his roots. Verse 23, it says, and he went up from there to Beersheba. And Yahweh appeared to him the same night and said, I am the Elohim of Abraham your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you. Because you're living a blessed life. See? And multiply your seed for your servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of Yahweh and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. See, Isaac was a blessed man of Yahweh because he didn't want to fight with the people of the land. He wanted to just enjoy, exist, have that room. He says, in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In verse 4, he's talking about the seed of Isaac, which is the seed of Abraham. He says, in all the earth, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. But what do I have to do? In your seed,
They have to follow. Isaac was of a line. He was keeping a certain faith. And that's what we have to do. We have to keep that faith. And that's one of the things that set Willie McKelvey apart from a lot of the people I've known over the last 35 years. Because I knew Willie McKelvey for about 35 years. And we affectionately called him Mac. And that's for those of you who didn't know him. We've become very close over the last year. I mean, over the 30 years we've become close. But over the last year, we really got close. Because like I said, in January, we traveled to Africa together and spent 3 weeks there, traveling all over Kenya. The brethren over there fell in love with Mac, with him. And like I said, Mac was a hit. You know, they wished they could all have come to the funeral and come here to the United States. But it wasn't possible. And I've heard from three of the elders over there concerning him already. Mac was the treasurer of YPTC. Therefore, we talked almost every day concerning this ministry. He loved his Savior and would do anything within his power to fulfill the Great Commission. Mac was a generous man, willing to help anyone who had genuine need, but he wanted to see what you were going to do for yourself first. He said, don't come to me with your hand out if you haven't tried first to solve your own problem. But there are a lot of people who will come to you asking for help and haven't tried to solve the problem themselves. Willie he lived according to the covenant. He believed it and practiced it every day. Anyone who knew Willie McKelvey knew he was a blessed man who practiced what he preached. And he, like I said, not just as a treasurer, even outside that, I know the brethren in Kenya, you know, received other gifts other than what, you know, was designated. I mean, when people tithe or they have a special offering that they want to go to Africa, they'll put Africa on it when they send their offerings in, and we'll make sure they go to Africa. That's how we do things. But I know Mac helped a lot more out of his own pocket. And that's why I said he practiced what he preached. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, turn with me there. Talking about living a blessed life. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, it says, and it shall come to pass, if you shall diligently listen to the voice of Yahweh Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that Yahweh Elohim will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you shall listen to the voice of Yahweh Elohim. Blessed shall be you in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your beast, and the increase of your cattle, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed shall be you when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Yahweh will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and shall flee before you seven ways. Yahweh will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to. And he will bless you in the land which Yahweh Elohim is giving you. Yahweh will establish you for a holy people to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you shall keep his commandments, the commandments of Yahweh Elohim, to walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of Yahweh, and they shall be afraid of you. They're going to be afraid of you, not because of you, but because of Yahweh, because they know that you're Yahweh's people. Verse 11, and Yahweh will make you plenteous for good in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, in the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers to give you. Yahweh will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain of your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands, and you shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. And Yahweh will make you the head and not the tail. and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. If you shall listen to the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, which I command you this day to observe and to do them, and shall not turn aside from any of the works which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other Elohim to serve them. And this is what Yahweh has done for his servants. He blessed each one of us. And see, Willie was an example. He was a type because he was blessed. And a lot of people, you know, I know he made fun of one of the brethren from Alabama every time he called me. He asked him, can you sell me $1 million? You know, he kept, you know, teasing Willie because Willie was a blessed man. He lived according to these covenants. He lived according to what Yahweh directed him to do. And yes, he was blessed financially. I mean, he had a lovely family. I mean, I know when he came, I think when they came to, was it Cherokee? The first time with his motorhome. And I think that's what got some of these brethren. They saw this man pull up in this big motorhome, drove from California. And they know, man, this man got money. You know, it's like, wow. And, I mean, I know the brother was joking with him, but it got old because he kept doing it all the time. He would ask Willie to slide on, you know, can you loan me $1 million or whatever, you know. And, like I said, Willie was a very blessed man because he believed in Almighty Yahweh. He kept the covenant, and he was a great tither. He always said, you cannot get around Yahweh. If you want to receive the blessings, you can't withhold what you're commanded to give. So if you're getting blessed, and he said the only way you can prove Yahweh is to give that offering, to give the tithe, because he says in Malachi, he'll open the windows of heaven and pour them out. And if you're not getting those blessings, then think about what you're doing in your life. Okay? That's what it really reflects. And that's why I said, you know, when you're living the blessed life, and one of the things about Willie was, and I said he was a generous man, he didn't mind and would not mind helping you. But if you said and gave your word that, hey, you know, I'm going to pay you back so-and-so time, then you needed to do it. You need to be a man of your word or a woman of your word because that's what the Bible teaches. Okay? And like I said, Yahweh showed that. In this man's life, every aspect of his life, you saw those blessings. See? And I know some of the things he would have liked to have seen in his life come to pass. I know Yahweh's going to bring them to pass. He'll see them in the kingdom. He'll see them in the future. Willie loved Yahweh and man, but you had to be straight with him. Like I said, you had to be a man or woman of your word. But he also believed in forgiveness because he knew that we are not perfect yet. We're all still striving for perfection. When you love your neighbor as yourself, you have won the battle. When we look at Willie's life, there is no question that Willie McKelvey was a blessed man. Turn over to Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. Romans 13. Verse 8, it says, owe no man anything save to love one another. For he that loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this word, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Almighty Yahweh is trying to raise, put together a perfect people. He wants a people that are willing to keep the covenant in every aspect of the law.
turn over to Matthew 5, verse 43. We'll read down to 48. It says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than the others? Do not even the Gentiles the same?" And yes, that's the same. I don't care if you're a wicked man. You love your kids. You do. And you'll do for them. See? But he's telling us, "You therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Because you're going to love your enemy. You're going to go out that next step. You're going to do the next thing that the world is not willing to do. See? And that's where we are. That's what we want to do. Willie showed that he loved his neighbor because he put it into practice the principles of our Savior, Yahshua, in which he knew how to forgive when people sinned against him. He also would pray for those who would try to use him. He knew that if he didn't forgive others, he would not be forgiven. That's something that we have to learn to practice, brethren, forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 1. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. We're trying to learn to living a blessed life. We're going to start at verse 3. It said, "Blessed be the El and Father of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in the Messiah." He's telling us every spiritual blessing. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. The problem with most people is that they want those physical blessings. They want what they want, and they want it now. You know, like that commercial. But we're looking for a different type of blessing, you know. Yes, we need to get through this life. We need to have currency. We need to have funds or whatever to get where we got to go. And Yahweh promises to take care of us. You know, he tells us he's going to give us those things. See? But we want those spiritual blessings and heavenly places in the Messiah. Verse 4, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love." And I'm back to what Willie was doing, in love. See, because for me or for you or for any one of us to get to that next level, we can't hate anybody. We have to show that love to our enemy. No, we have to get there. And this is one of the things Joshua is trying to get us to see. We have to love even the unlovely. You have to love your enemy, somebody that's trying to do you harm. And that's hard to do, see? But we have to get there. And that's where we have to be to overcome this world. That's why it says, without blemish before him in love. Having, in verse 5, or foreordained us to the adoption as sons through Yahshua the Messiah to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved, in Yahshua, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. And that's why it's so important. See, because if you're not forgiving those who are sinning against you, how can you expect him to forgive you? The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the richness of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed him to a dispensation of the fullness of the times,
to sum up all things in the Messiah, the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth. In him, I say, in whom also we are made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will. It's not according to our will. We're doing these things according to his will. And that's what Yahshua says. I've come, my meat is to do his will. See? And if we can do the same, if we can put ourselves in that same company with the Savior and do the will of Yahweh, we're going to be blessed, brethren. We're going to be living a blessed life. We're going to be like Philly McKelvey. We're going to overcome this world and Satan the devil. Verse 12, to the end that we should be to the praise of his glory, we who had before hoped in the Messiah, in whom you also, having heard the word of truth, the good tidings of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That sealing cannot come if you haven't received the baptism into the Messiah, into the truth. That sealing is going to take place in the near future. Before the tribulation starts, he's going to go around and seal his people. Okay? We're going to see this a little bit more in the future. We're going to get into this before the Passover, because we're going to deal with this, about the sealing of Yahweh's people. Okay? And it's important that we understand that these are steps. Everything is a step in that direction so that we can be sealed. Because once we're sealed, we're covered. Okay. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. We're talking about that spirit of promise, the Holy Spirit. That's the down payment to the redemption of Yahweh's own possession, to the praise of his glory. See, we talked about his praises in the beginning. They were told to sing to Yahweh. The battle belongs to Yahweh. He's fighting for his people. See? All we had to do, what did it say in 2 Corinthians? They went out and they sang. They didn't fight, they sang. They praised Yahweh. I said 2 Chronicles, yes. I didn't say Corinthians again, did I? I'm sorry. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Oh, no, they... But to live a blessed life, we have to overcome this world. We have to overcome this life and this Satan the devil. Willie has received his down payment of the Spirit because he believed in Yahweh and was baptized in the name of Yahshua the Messiah, our Savior, the only name whereby we must be saved. Willie was a blessed man because he was loved by brethren all over the world and by his Father in heaven and by his family and by his Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. Are you blessed like Elder Willie R. McKelvey? If not, get to know his Savior, Yahshua, who can grant eternal life through his Father in heaven, Almighty Yahweh. See, because he's the only one that can grant eternal life. And if you're living a blessed life, you're going to be walking in truth, keeping the covenant. See, not sinning against anybody else. See, but you want to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You want them to treat you a certain way. In Luke chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. Luke 11, 27 and 28. It says, and it came to pass, as he said these things, a certain woman out of the multitude lifted up her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which you did suck. But he said, yes, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of Yahweh and keep it. See, Yahshua was on point. He knew exactly what we needed to do. He knew exactly how we needed to lead our lives, brethren.
Turn over to Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Luke chapter 6, verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of Yahweh. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same manner did their fathers to the prophets. But woe to you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you that are full now, for you shall hunger. Woe to you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men shall speak well of you, for in the same manner did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say to you that hear, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. To him that strikes you on the one cheek, offer also the other. And from him that takes away your cloak, withhold not your coat also. Give to everyone that asks you. Of him that takes away your goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Because I'm telling you, if you don't understand this, there are people out here that think that they can get around Yahweh. And if they roll a stone, they don't realize that stone is going to roll back on them. They dig a pit. They're going to end up in that pit. Verse 32, and if you love them that love you, what thanks have you? For even sinners love those that love them. And he told us over in Matthew 5 to be perfect. We have to do better than that. And if you do good to them that do good to you, what thanks have you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to them whom you hope to receive, what thanks of you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive again as much, plus interest. But love your enemies and do them good, and lend, never despairing, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be sons of the Most High, for he is kind toward the unthankful and evil. Be you merciful, even as your Father is merciful, and judge not, and you shall not be judged, and condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Release. Release, and you shall be released. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give into your bosom. For with what measure you measure, it shall be measured again to you. And that's why it's so important for us to understand, brethren. If we're living a blessed life, see, we want to receive the blessings from Almighty Yahweh. And we can't be thinking negative things against other people. We have to be willing to go that extra step, that extra mile. The reason that we want to go that extra mile we want him to bless us. Yeah, we want him to bless us, okay? And if we want to receive the blessings, we have to be willing to bless others as well. We have to be willing to do and overcome that problem that Satan is sticking in our craw because he wants us to, you know, condemn someone else. Say, oh, it's your right. You can do that because this person did that to you, so you have a right to feel that way. No. If we're going to be like Yahshua, we're going to have to overcome that. And if someone trespass against us, we pray that he forgives our trespasses, right? So we want those that trespass against us to be forgiven as well. And that's where you make that next wrong. You go that next step to be those who are living a blessed life. And that's one of the things I really liked about Mac McKelvey. See, he was willing to forgive. He was willing to allow that person to save face. You know, he didn't necessarily have to put you on the spot. You knew you were wrong. He knew you were wrong. And you knew you were wrong. So you don't have to put the person on the spot. See? And that's love. That's where love comes in. See? Joshua knew that. When he asked Simon, when the woman was in the house and Simon the Pharisee that wanted to have dinner with him, and he said, you know, about this woman, Simon's saying in his heart, does he know what type of woman this is that's touching him? You know, like this was a harlot. You know, this woman, you know, she's a sinner. And Joshua saw that. He knew it. He understood it in Simon's heart. And he said, Simon, you know, this lender had two debtors. One owed a little and one owed a lot. You know, who would have been more appreciative if he forgave the debt? And Simon answered correctly. He said the one who he forgave the most. And he said, you've answered correctly, Simon. This woman, you know, who is a sinner, came in, anointed my feet. And see, the custom in those days was to come in and wash the person's, you know, they had a laver there when you came into the house to wash the hands and the feet. And Simon didn't do it. See? And he's showing that this woman, with her tears and her hair, was washing his feet. And she was really broken up about where she was in her sinful life. But Joshua forgave her whose sins were greater. So Simon answered correctly, but he still didn't get the picture. He didn't understand. But we have to understand, brethren. For us to live that blessed life, we have to get to that point in our lives where we're like Joshua the Messiah, where we're not judging people and condemning people because of one thing or another. It's very hard. It's carnal nature for us to do so. See, that's what Satan wants us to do. See, but we want to get over to the other side. We want to overcome. We want to be the repentant sinners. We want to be those who are living a blessed life. And for us to do that, we have to overcome this life and Satan the devil. See, and follow in the footsteps of our Savior. And, as it said, and all of the seed of Abraham, the nations of this world would be blessed. And we're going to follow in that. And that's one of the things that Willie did. Willie was very faithful in showing us. And, I mean, he loved this ministry. And people don't understand, you know, how hard it was for this man to do what he did. I mean, going to Africa up and down those mountains is a young man's game. You know, and somebody told him he couldn't do it. See? And he showed him he could because he loved Yahweh. And he was willing to do it for Yahweh's people. So when we think about the overcomers and we think about what this ministry is all about, we're trying to do Yahweh's work. It's not about ourselves. It's nothing personal. See? The reason that we're doing what we're doing, we're trying to live a blessed life so that we can be in the kingdom of Almighty Yahweh, so that we can have our spot. And that's what receiving that gift of the Holy Spirit does for us. It gives us that spot. Now, we still have to take that Holy Spirit and allow it to grow and flourish within us as we gain the knowledge of Almighty Yahweh in these last days. Now, at this time, I'd like to ask Brother Felix Pinero to come forth and close this service with a word of prayer. Almighty Yahweh, bless each and every one of us.
I bow head, come before Mighty Yahweh this hour. Thank you, Father Yahweh, for this beautiful mercies you bring us today. We ask you, Father, to bless us each day so we can continue, Father, do well right before you. We ask you, Father, to give us strength each day that we need. We continue fighting the good battle. We ask you, Father, you bless every brothers and sisters listening to the radio. Bless, Father, each and every one listening right now. We live in the last day. We got to get close to you. Thank you, Father. Watch us, may we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. For our